You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on attainment. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on attainment, The 12 Elements of Elite Performance by Troy Basham. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. I grew up having the privilege of knowing some of the best athletes in the world in their respected sports. I didn't just meet Olympic and world champions. I knew many of these people and learned a lot from them over the years. I can tell you that the best of the best in sport, business, education, and life all have one thing in common. They all think differently from the average person. They follow a different set of guidelines, and these guidelines, or elements, as I refer to them, are what gives them an advantage over their competition. In life, we are competing in many different areas. How well we handle these areas will provide us with an advantage or give us a disadvantage in terms of being successful. This book breaks down the 12 elements that separate the elite competitor from the average competitor. My goal is to give you an advantage and share with you how I use these elements to reach important goals. End quote. That is Troy Basham from Attainment. The Bashams have quickly become two of my favorite teachers. Troy Basham, the author of this book, is the son of Lanny Basham. Lanny is an Olympic gold medalist and one of the most decorated shooters in U.S. history. He spent the last 40-plus years developing his mental management system, and we recently profiled his incredible book, With Winning in Mind. Check out those notes. Both Troy and Lanny are great storytellers, and Troy doesn't waste a word in this densely packed 100-page guide to the 12 elements of elite performance. I've marked up nearly every page, make that paragraph, of this great book, and I'm barely going to scratch the surface of the goodness. I highly recommend it if the idea of elite performance appeals to you. Seriously, it's awesome. I've got a link to it in the note. Obviously, get it online. And you can connect with these guys at mentalmanagement.com for more. For now, let's have fun exploring a handful of my favorite big ideas. I hope you enjoy. Let's jump in. First big idea, the 12 elements of elite performance. Element number one, elite performers are passionate about what they do. Others like what they do. Element number two, elite performers manage their time and stick to a schedule. Others mismanage their time and don't have a schedule. Element number three, elite performers focus on opportunities. Others focus on obstacles. Element number four, elite performers work on all three areas of performance. Others focus solely on their subconscious ability. Element number five, elite performers train with a purpose. Others practice what they enjoy. Element number six, elite performers focus on solutions. Others focus on problems. Elite number seven, elite performers focus on what they should do. Others focus on what happened. Element number eight, elite performers focus on the process. Others focus on the outcome. Element number nine, elite performers give just the right amount of effort. Others try to give it 110%. Element number 10, elite performers actively build and protect their self-image. Others fail to realize the importance of building and protecting their self-image. Element number 11, elite performers reinforce success or focus on the correction. Others focus on the result and lack of success. And finally, element number 12, elite performers focus on attainment. Others focus on accomplishment. All right, those are our 12 elements of elite performance. Those are some really powerful principles. Of course, in the book, Troy walks us through each of them. Check out the book for the details and great stories and wisdom. Now, here's a quick look at a few of my favorite ideas. Next one is obstacles are good. Quote, when obstacles occur, look at it as nothing more than an opportunity to take a negative and turn it into a positive. Every obstacle, every situation you find yourself in, and every hand you are dealt in life is an opportunity to grow. The question is, Are you using these obstacles as opportunities to challenge yourself and see what you're capable of doing? Or are you using these obstacles as reasons why you cannot reach your goal? End quote. Obstacles. If we are committed to consistently performing at an elite level, we, of course, will be challenging ourselves. By definition, when we do something challenging, we will face challenges, aka obstacles, aka what some people call problems, right? So it makes no sense to do anything but embrace those challenges and see them as opportunities to grow. Period. Spotlight on you. Are you committed to an elite level of performance? Good answer. Well, how do you respond to challenges? Do you complain about them? Or do you get excited about them? Remember, we don't go to the gym to lift styrofoam weights. We go there to get stronger, and we know that the only way to do that is to lift heavy stuff. Same with our lives. Our challenges are our weights. They make us stronger. Let's lift them with energy and enthusiasm. Here's how Ryan Holiday puts it in his great book, The Obstacle is the Way. See those notes. He says, quote, "It's a beautiful idea. Psychologists call it adversarial growth or post-traumatic growth. That which doesn't kill me makes me stronger is not a cliche, but fact. The struggle against an obstacle inevitably propels the fighter to a new level of functioning. The extent of the struggle determines the extent of the growth. The obstacle is an advantage, not adversity. The enemy is any perception that prevents us from seeing this." End quote. Marcus Aurelius echoes that wisdom and, in fact, inspired Ryan Holiday's book. Aurelius tells us, "The impediment to action advances the action. What stands in the way becomes the way." So here's to embracing challenges and getting stronger every day. Next big idea, constantly, exclamation point, look for ways to get better. Quote, "In order to grow, you must constantly look for ways to get better at the things you do. It is an ongoing process that is common to elite performers. They consistently look for ways to grow in areas that will increase the chances of their being successful." John Wooden, the famous UCLA college basketball coach, who has won more games than any other basketball coach in history, said that the thing that separates the great player from the good player is that the great player works on his strengths. The elite performer focuses on strengths and then focuses on his weaknesses. He makes it a point to focus on how he can improve and grow. Elite performers don't focus on excuses, nor do they focus on winning or losing. The elite performer focuses on progress, and he takes advantage of his opportunities. End quote. So the day before I read this book, I read Pete Carroll's great book, Win Forever. Check out those notes. Pete is the coach of the Super Bowl-winning Seattle Seahawks and former coach of the uber-successful USC Trojans. His number one focus? Always compete. For Pete, that means to always, but only always, look for ways to, quote, do things better than they've ever been done before. It's exactly what Troy is advocating here. He tells us, you must constantly look for ways to get better at the things you do. When Troy says constantly, and Pete says always, they don't mean sometimes or when you feel like it. They mean exactly what they said. Constantly be looking for ways to get better. Always look for ways to do things better than they've ever been done before. That's the path of the elite performer, the path of the master. Does it sound exhausting? It's not. It's exhilarating. Here's how George Leonard puts it in Mastery. Check out those notes. He says, "A human being is the kind of machine that wears out from lack of use. There are limits, of course, and we do need healthful rest and relaxation, but for the most part, we gain energy by using energy. It might well be that all of us possess enormous stores of potential energy, more than we could ever hope to use." And of course, there's the Wizard of Westwood, John Wooden. Pete Carroll actually starts his book by sharing an epiphany he had while reading Wooden. See those notes. After being fired for the fifth time, Pete was awestruck by the fact that it took Wooden 16 years of coaching at UCLA before he won his first title. But once he figured out his philosophy, Coach Wooden won 10 NCAA championships in 12 years. Wooden's key? Constantly look for ways to get better. Make each practice as perfect as you could. Focus on the process. Make today a masterpiece. Here's how he put it. Quote, "When I was teaching basketball, I urged my players to try their hardest to improve on that very day, to make that practice a masterpiece. Too often we get distracted by what is outside our control. You can't do anything about yesterday. The door to the past has been shut and the key thrown away. You can do nothing about tomorrow. It is yet to come. However, tomorrow is in large part determined by what you are doing today. So make today a masterpiece. You have control over that." This rule, Wooden continues, is even more important in life than basketball. You have to apply yourself each day to become a little better. By applying yourself to the task of becoming a little better each and every day, over a period of time, you will become a lot better. Only then will you be able to approach being the best you can be. It begins by trying to make each day count and knowing you can never make up for a lost day. End quote. All right, so back to you. How can you get a little better today? Get on that. All right, next big idea. You are what you think. Quote, "In order to reach the next level of success that you deserve, you must become mentally strong in your thought process. You must think about what you want and not give in to the temptation of thinking about why you don't have it. The conscious mind is powerful, and it can lead you into the direction of being the person you want to be. You have heard the saying, you are what you eat. Well, I'm telling you that you become what you think. If you think you won't win, you're right. It's that simple." End quote. Love it. You are what you eat, and you are what you think. So, what are you thinking? As Troy tells us, if you think you won't win / succeed at whatever you're excited about in life, you're right. It really is that simple. We need to be as mindful about the thoughts we have and the things we allow into our minds as we are about the food we eat. Reminds me of Tim Sanders. See notes on his great book, Today We Are Rich, where he tells us, "In my personal experience, positive thinking is the key to health. I believe my own health is shaped by my thoughts, the way a sculpture is shaped by its creator. I am very careful about my mind diet and consider myself a healthy thought nut." I love it. Here's to being a healthy thought nut. And here's one of the best big ideas in every single one of the notes we've done. I don't know how many there are now. This is 200 and I don't know, something note. That's a lot of big ideas, probably 1,500 big ideas. And this is one of my favorites. Keep shooting. Quote, "The more you think about something happening, the more you improve the probability of that thing happening." This is what Karoly Takacs did better than anyone else. He never doubted what he could achieve, but focused constantly on what he needed to do in order to put himself in a position to achieve his goals. His story is one that is told throughout the international shooting communities around the world. While many will use his story as one that proves you should never give up, I think it's Karoly's ability to think about what he wanted and do what he needed to do to achieve it that is the bigger lesson learned. End quote. Karoly Takacs is a superhero. Here's the story. It's 1938. Karoly is the world's best pistol shooter. He's favored to win the Olympic gold in 1940. Karoly is also a sergeant in the Hungarian army. During routine training, he had a tragic accident. A defective grenade went off in his hand, his right hand, his shooting hand. He spent a month in the hospital, depressed that his lifelong dream of winning the Olympics had disappeared in an instant. Then he decided to win anyway. He secretly started training every day, learning how to fire a pistol with his left hand. Fast forward to the 1939 World Championships. He shows up. His friends in the community embrace him and are so happy he's come to watch them compete. He lets them know he'll be competing as well. Of course, they're very surprised to hear this. They're even more surprised when Karoly wins. Now, his Olympic dreams are back. Then, World War II cancels the 1940 and 1944 Olympics. No problem. Our 38-year-old hero shows up at the 1948 Olympics in London. The favorite asks Carolee what he's doing there. Carolee tells him he's there to learn. Then, he wins the gold, and does so again 4 years later in Helsinki. I'm rubbing my eyes at the ridiculousness of that tenacity. Now, Troy's big distinction here is this. The fact that Carolee refused to give up is obviously remarkable. But Troy tells us that what we really want to focus on is Carolee's ability to think about what he wanted and then do what he needed to do to achieve it. You lose your right hand. No big deal. I'll train with my left. Nuts. That brings us back to you. What do you want? What do you need to do to get it? That's what we need to focus on, not on whatever problems we might be facing. We're inevitably going to experience setbacks and challenges in pursuit of elite performance, period, as we've discussed. When that happens, we need to discipline ourselves to focus on what we want, the solutions to the problems, not on the problems themselves. Who needs a right hand to succeed? We just need a right mindset. Again, that story is staggering to me. Carolee, you're a superhero. Next big idea, reloading. This is another really good one. Quote, top performers protect their self-image by having a planned thought process after performing a specific task. The process has three steps to it and is referred to as reloading. The purpose of reloading is to refresh the brain with the thought process of what you want, while not getting caught up in what just happened. Successful people do not become engulfed in poor performances. They only focus on what they should do and not on what happened. End quote. Reloading. This is really cool. Troy and his dad have a ton of really cool, unique, powerful ways to master ourselves and create the self-image necessary to rock it. This is one of my favorite ideas. Here's a super quick story. We need to be really aware of what we allow ourselves to think about after we perform a task, whether that's rifle shooting in the Olympics, or teaching, or having a chat with a colleague, or interacting with our family before dinner, or whatever. Three steps. One, evaluate. Two, rehearse correction. Three, let it go. Let's walk through that. You do something. All right, time for a quick evaluation. Step one, how'd it go? If it was great, you say great to yourself. If it was okay, you say okay. If it was less than awesome, you say needs work. By saying great, you imprint your awesomeness. Very important. As Troy advises, quote, if you perform a task well, you should feast on that performance. The self-image needs self-praise in order to grow. When we perform at less than a stellar level, we must not drive that negative performance deeper into our minds by getting all emotional about it. Things like, I'm an idiot, why do I always mess up when it matters most, are not helpful. Emphasis on not helpful. Elite performers simply do not allow those toxic thoughts into their minds, period. Neither can you if you're committed to rocking it. We must exert the mental discipline to focus our minds. Troy tells us to simply say, needs work. What do you think about when you say, needs work to yourself? You think about how you could have done it a little better. That's what we want to rehearse. Imagine doing the task a little better. And then, rather than imprinting your negative behavior, you imprint a positive rehearsal. That's truly genius. In fact, Troy tells us this is the most important piece of mental advice anyone can provide. Quote, what you allow yourself to think about after a task matters. After rehearsing your correction, you simply let it go. Done. No ruminating. You recognized you needed a little work. No big deal. Quickly rehearsed an optimal performance and let it go. That's reloading in a very tiny nutshell. You might want to re-listen to that and try it out. And of course, get the book for more goodness. Reloading, huge. What you allow yourself to think about after a task matters. Pay attention. Final big idea, attainment. Quote, if you want to reach the top level of your ability, you must focus on attainment. Becoming great at what you do doesn't stop at learning your craft. Attainment means mastering your craft, being able to focus consistently in pressure situations, having the confidence that you can succeed, and setting and reaching your goals. If you focus on the success points, build on your ability, and incorporate these strategies in your plan, success becomes probable, not just possible. End quote. Attainment. That's the name of the book and our ultimate objective. Troy walks us through the three ways to describe attainment. The essence, we need to move beyond accomplishment, which is incredibly important, and get to the level of attainment, achieving our goals, mastering our crafts, and becoming the type of person capable of replicating our success in other domains and throughout our lives. So here's to mastering the elements of elite performance in attaining our highest potential. It's a quick look at this great book, Attainment. If you dug this note, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on With Winning in Mind by Troy's dad, Lanny Basham. Wooden, Mastery, and the Obstacle is the Way. Let's look at some quotes from the sidebar and wrap it up. All right, these are all from Troy, unless I mention otherwise. Focusing on progress and not results is the fastest way to reach high levels of success. I repeat, focusing on progress and not results is the fastest way to reach high levels of success. Troy tells us, focus on the things that you can control and never worry about the things you cannot. Elite performers focus on the process. Others focus on the outcome. In order to have mental consistency, you must find the optimal mental thought that yields the best opportunity to have a successful performance and repeat that thought process every single time. He tells us what you allow yourself to think about after a task matters. Remember, needs work is a heck of a lot better than I'm an idiot. Identify what didn't go quite the way you want to. Don't criticize yourself. Rehearse that task going optimally, then let it go. Finally, elite performers work hard in preparation and easy in competition. Elite performers work hard in preparation and easy in competition. They just let it rip at that point. All right, Troy Basham, Attainment. I hope you enjoyed. What was your favorite big idea? What landed? How can you make that wisdom a deeper part of your integrated, embodied experience of life? Get on that. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.